So here we go. Last Sunday of the year. Are you going to miss 2017 or are you glad to see it go? I'm glad to see it go. What are you looking forward to in 2018? On the last day of the year, it seems right to take a look at the last verses of the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. And these are our verses that really give us something to look forward to. Here they are from the Revelation, chapter 22, verses 20 and 21. He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people. The Apostle John is writing these words. He's filled with the Spirit, and he's writing these words in exile on the Isle of Patmos, which is way off of the west coast of Turkey. And at this point, he is the only disciple left. All the others, the other apostles, that is, have been put to death for sharing the good news about Jesus. But John has no fear. God has shown him what is coming, and he knows it in his spirit. And he's imbued with this hope, and he can hardly wait. And when John writes, "Yes, I am coming soon," he is writing the very words of Jesus, whom he sees in a vision before him. As God spreads out before him, imagine this vision where John sees the very end of days and the beginning of God's new creation. It's an amazing thing. And so when John hears these words, "Yes, I'm coming soon," he responds, "Yes, come, Lord Jesus." Nothing matters more to him because he knows deeply within that it's true. John uses the word truth a lot in his writings, knowing the truth, living in it. And he's the same one who wrote about Jesus. We saw him with our own eyes. We touched him with our own hands. And he is the word of life. Remember how we looked at those words a few weeks ago. And John faces the future with confidence and hope simply because he looks forward to Jesus. He isn't worried about what will happen to him for continuing to share that hope. Even though he's already gotten in trouble for it, he's already been exiled for it, others have been killed for it. And he knows what could happen if he continues. He isn't fretting about who is on the throne in Rome, even though the emperors have been putting Christians to death. All of John's hope is in Jesus, and there is no safer, stronger place for it to be. All of his hope springs from him, and we can learn from that on this last day of the year. There are three things about John's word, about John's words, that I hope that we can look into and dig into and find helpful as we look ahead. And the first is the word that he uses to describe Jesus. Here it is in verse 21. He who is the faithful witness. Jesus is faithful. Jesus will take care of his own. We can trust him to do what he will say. Our skeptical selves may look at these verses and say, "Well, when are you coming back? It's already been 2,000 years. But the right answer to that question is what it always has been. The right answer is still soon. Soon. Because Carrie and I have a 2-year-old grandson. We've been working with what you might call our diplomacy skills. It isn't easy to reason with someone who doesn't grasp things fully yet. You know, negotiating with a two-year-old is sometimes like negotiating with a terrorist. They're just smaller. But, you know, one of the things that we say when there's something good coming, and he knows something good is coming, but it can't happen yet, is the word soon. Well, I want to go outside. Please, can I go outside and play? Soon. Well, why can't I go now? Soon. And we use that word because there are other things that need to happen first, like, you know, we really need to put on some warm clothes before we go outside. Or first, you need to pick up your toys. And I don't think it's unreasonable to say that God does the same thing with us. There are things that we are to do before he comes. He has sent us into the world to share the good news. He's growing us up. He has all of the time in the world. He created time. He exists outside of it. This is one of the incredible discoveries of the 20th century, right? That time is fluid. Look at quantum physics and how, you know, time changes when you travel. And there's suddenly this realization that, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There can be the location of things outside of time. Again, God has all of the time in the world. And the Bible tells us that it is God's mercy that causes him, from what is our perspective, to wait. Peter writes, "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day." The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. His faithfulness causes him to take his time with us. Now, I love the fact that Peter, in writing just a decade or so after Jesus' death, uses the term 1,000 years. But this brings us to, and part of that reasoning, by the way, is that, again, it's his faithfulness. It's God's faithfulness that causes him to take his time with us. And that brings us to the second thing about John and this hope that he has. Take a look at verse 20. "He was the faithful witness to all these things, says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' And John answers, 'Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.'" Nothing matters more to him. And I don't know about you, but I look at that in my spiritual self and I say, I want to be like that when I grow up. You know how that is. Sometimes we struggle with all kinds of different things. We are so tied to this world, and there are so many things that we love in this world and that we love about our lives. We've been blessed in so many ways. But John knows that nothing will be better than being with Jesus. And his whole life is organized around that singular thing. This life is temporary, right? I mean, isn't that something that we do? We tend to look at time, the way it passes so quickly, and we say, oh, it seems like only yesterday that, when it's actually been years. And I think part of that is a mark of the eternal in us, that we were created to live beyond time with God. And when we know and love the faithful one and keep our focus on him, no matter what time it is in our lives, he will fill us with hope in a way that we cannot find anywhere else. Just imagine, if you will, close your eyes for a moment and imagine what it will be like to see Jesus. to be with Him. Think of the beauty of His presence, of every battle past, every struggle done, perfect peace. Think of the love and the comfort and the light and the hope that He has already given you. Just that little bit, and multiply it eternally. It's only the beginning. Jesus is the one who will make it heaven. John says elsewhere that He will be the very light of heaven. And there's something about this that we shouldn't miss. John is in his later years here. He's up in years, and what he's doing is, in part, he shows us how to age well. It's not about the past, right? The real glory days, those are the ones that he's looking forward to. You know, sometimes we don't want Jesus to come because our hearts and our minds are filled with all kinds of things that we're looking forward to, right? I mean, if we're honest about that, we read a verse like this, come, Lord Jesus, and it's like, you know, it's a little bit like the prayer that Augustine prayed at one point in his life before he came to Christ, which was, Lord, give me chastity, but not yet. We're in love with the world, and there are things that, we would hate to let go of. And there are ones who are dear to us. But because every good gift comes from God, every good gift, it helps when we remember that He has held nothing back from us in giving us His very Son. And we can only imagine what He will give us when we are at home in Him once and for all. But all of that that we can look forward to is secondary to Him. Because again, it is He who makes it heaven. And so we come to the third thing about John's hope. Here it is, the very last verse of the Bible. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people. Now, those words are a special blessing for the readers at the end of the letter. And notice where John is pointing us. Right back to Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people. It is His grace that saves us, that empowers us to live transformed lives. It is His grace that calls us to be holy people, different from the world, because His Spirit is at work within us, empowering us to walk into a new life, to leave old ways behind, to break old chains, to leave the world and its ways of thinking and walk into the light and life that God holds out to us. John's hope, all of it, hangs on his relationship with Jesus. You know, that's one of the things that I think should be helpful for us at any age. Because Jesus is, Scripture calls Him, the author of life. You know how that is. As years increase with us, and for some reason this seems especially true of guys, you know, sometimes we live into this sense of denial. It's like we tend to forget that we're not 23 anymore and we can't lift the things that we once could. And there's that sense in your spirit, you know, that you know, I'm just going to keep on living. Because again, we are eternal beings within these temporary bodies. But when Jesus comes, he gives us this hope. When we welcome him, when we receive him, he gives us this hope in our spirits. I love what G.K. Chesterton wrote about this. He talked about our tendency to look at the world and define it in certain ways and categorize everything. And he looked at natural selection. And G.K. Chesterton, in writing about God and his power to create, pointed out how children delight in monotony. You know, a child says, "Do it again," until the grown-up is nearly dead. And Chesterton says, well, could it not be that God says, do it again every morning to the sun. Do it again every night to the moon. And then he nails it with this statement, for we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. Now think about that for a moment. The way Chesterton describes it is the eternal appetite of infancy. God is not tainted by sin. God has not been degraded by the world. God is not held to the laws of entropy or gravity. God does not suffer decay. And within our spirits, which are eternal, he infuses this hope as we come to him. And so this is what you were made for. You were made to be with me all along. He is the source, again, the author of life. And as we come to him, everything good awaits. And John's hope hangs on this. Jesus has called us, come to me. And if we have received him, Jesus is with us at work to save us out of this world and make us new within our very souls. And because he is faithful, we can love him and trust him, trust his word, trust his way, trust his truth. While we wait for his grace and his spirit, his very presence will be with us and within us to strengthen us and to carry us through. He is no imaginary friend. He is life itself. And he fills us with life and fills us with hope as we turn to him. And he longs for us to come to him and trust him and rest him in him and trade our hope in lesser things for the hope that only he can give. And so as we stand here at the end of one year and look into the beginning of another, a good question to ask is, what kind of hope do we have? What is our hope based on? I think of the old hymn that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly rest on Jesus' name. In Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. What is your hope in as you look ahead? Are you resting in him? Are you standing in him by his grace? Are you trusting him to help you, to save you, to lead you to bless you. One little story, I think it's an apocryphal one. Steve Brown shares it. It's said that before he became president, Abraham Lincoln came across a slave auction. And as a beautiful young woman came to the auction block, he was so disgusted by the spectacle that he, Abraham Lincoln, decided to buy her. And after he did, he gave her her papers and said, "Here you are. You're free." And she looked at him and said, "Free? What does that mean, free?" And he answered, "It means you can go where you want to go. You can do what you want to do." She repeated his words, "I can go where I want to go. I can do what I want to do," she asked. "Yes," he said, "that's right." "Well then," she answered, "I think I'll go with you." Jesus said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Oh, to go with Him. Into the year to come. May we pray. Lord, you are a beautiful Savior. There is no one like you. You do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. You break our chains. You lift our eyes out of darkness. You give us hope. And we pray, "Yes, come soon, Lord Jesus." And as we pray that, we're mindful of places in our lives where we struggle still. But we thank you that you are greater than all of that. And so we say, Lord, if you tarry, yes, come soon, Lord Jesus, into those places in our lives. Oh, help us to follow you, to love you. Lord, thank you that we are a new creation in you. Through your cross, you open to us life itself and deeper love than anything we've ever known before. And so, Lord, we praise you. Oh, help us to stay there, to rest in you. This morning on this last day of the year, may I quietly, humbly ask you, how are you walking into the year to come? If Jesus offers us so much, if he says, "I'll make you free," will you walk with him? Will you ask for his help? If he says, I will break your chains. Will you ask him to? If he says, I will give you rest. Oh, he can be trusted to do all of these things. At his cross, he made a way for us to come to him, to come to God the Father. Will you come? Start the year afresh. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for the beauty of your peace. Glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore. Be thine. Amen.